Ever get that feeling, like when you really want to grasp a big idea, something really important, but you just look at all the stuff you'd have to read and it's overwhelming.
I think everyone can relate to that. It's tough.
Yeah, that's what we want to help with, to cut through all that, you know? It's like, imagine trying to understand something massive by seeing it play out in a story, chapter by
Yeah,
chapter.
I like that.
So today, the big story we're diving into, the one that underpins everything, is the Bible itself, seen through this really powerful idea, our union with Christ.
Absolutely. We're going deep on a lecture series by Dr. Robert A. Peterson. He takes this idea of union with Christ and looks at it not as just some isolated doctrine, but as like a golden thread running through the whole biblical narrative.
Right, like getting to the heart of the story by following the main character's arc across all the major plot points.
Exactly.
So just to map things out for you, we're going to trace this idea of being united with Christ starting way, way back. I mean, before creation even existed, what theologians call eternity past.
Wow, that's going way back.
Right. And we'll go through creation, the fall of humanity, the incredible event of the incarnation, Christ's saving work, with a special focus on that game-changing moment of Pentecost, all the way to the promised new creation.
A huge journey.
It is a journey through the biggest story ever told to shine a light on this one key connection.
And what I find so compelling about this approach is that it shows union with Christ as something truly fundamental, not just like a theological afterthought.
It wasn't plan B.
It suggests that this has been God's intention all along, prompting you to see the entire Bible in a fresh light, with everything interconnected.
Okay, so let's wind the clock way back before time itself. Dr. Peterson highlights these really powerful passages from Paul in Ephesians 1:3-4 and 2 Timothy 1:8-9.
Oh yeah, those are good ones.
They talk about God choosing us for salvation before anything was created. And a really amazing part, this choosing was in him, in
Yeah.
Christ.
Those are foundational verses, really getting to the bedrock of God's plan. Ephesians states it so clearly, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And then 2 Timothy talks about grace given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. It makes you think, doesn't it? That God's plan to save us and to save us in Christ was there before anything else existed.
It really is mind-blowing, but it also raises a big question. How can we even begin to understand being in Christ before the universe existed, before we were even a thought?
I know, right.
Actual union, the way we experience it, hadn't happened yet.
Right.
So, what does that phrase in Christ even mean in that context, before creation?
It's a puzzle, a real interpretive challenge that Dr. Peterson tackles head on. He looks at some different ways theologians have tried to understand this. Like, he explores some Arminian viewpoints,
Okay.
where in Christ is seen as a condition, something we need to fulfill, maybe through God, for knowing who would have faith in the future to enter into that saving union.
Yeah, like Jack Cottrell's idea, where God looks ahead and sees who will meet that condition of being in Christ, essentially, entering saving union through their faith later on.
Yes, exactly. Foreknowledge of faith. But Peterson points out that the way Paul phrases these verses doesn't actually mention any kind of condition or human action.
Right, it doesn't say if or when you believe.
The emphasis seems to be entirely on God's plan, on his sovereign choice.
His decision.
Absolutely. When we talk about God's sovereign choice, we're talking about his ultimate authority, his freedom in carrying out his will, without depending on anything we do.
I see.
Then there's another Arminian perspective that Peterson considers, this one from Jerry Walls and Joseph DeAngelo. This idea suggests that God primarily chose Christ, and then, as a secondary action, he chose those who would believe.
So two steps.
Yeah. This view emphasizes a kind of collective or corporate election. So, a whole group being chosen, with faith being the key factor in who is included in that chosen group.
Okay. And so what does Peterson think about that?
Well, again, he offers a slightly different reading. He says that Paul's main focus in Ephesians 1 seems to be on God choosing us in him, not the other way around.
So it flips it.
Yeah. And he points out that verse 4 doesn't really highlight faith as the decisive factor at that very, very beginning stage.
Okay, so where does Dr. Peterson end up? What does he think it means?
So he favors a third interpretation. He believes that in Christ, in these verses, these pre-creation passages, refers to God's sovereign plan.
Like a blueprint.
Exactly. It wasn't that the union had already happened in some way, but it was God's fixed intention, his blueprint for how he would save us, which would involve bringing believers into a spiritual union with his son.
And getting all the blessings that come with that.
Of course. all the blessings that come with it.
So the main takeaway here, the core insight, is that being united with Christ wasn't a backup plan. It wasn't something God figured out later.
No, not at all.
It was the heart of his eternal purpose right from the start. And that's pretty powerful when you think about it. It reveals a really deep personal love, even before we exist.
Way before we exist.
It wasn't just a contingency. It was his intention, this desire for relationship.
Right from the start. And that leads us perfectly into the next act, the next chapter of this grand story, creation itself. How does the very act of creation lay the groundwork, set the stage for this future union with Christ?
Yeah.
How does it make it possible?
That's a good question. Well, Peterson argues that while God and humanity are on totally different levels, I mean, we're talking about the infinite creator versus finite beings, there's a vital element of compatibility built in.
That we're somehow compatible with God.
And this compatibility comes from the amazing fact that we were created in God's image.
That's right. Genesis 1:26-27 is key here. It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness.
So powerful.
It's not just about physical resemblance. It goes way deeper. It speaks to a deep capacity for relationship, for actual communion with God.
Real fellowship.
Yes.
He even quotes Robert Lethem, who says that being made in God's image means we were made for communion with God, to rule God's creation on his behalf. Just think about that for a second. Adam and Eve weren't created neutral. They were holy and in fellowship with God right from the very beginning.
It's hard to wrap our minds around that sometimes, isn't it?
It is.
Especially when we consider how immensely different God and humanity truly are. It's worth really pausing on that, you know. To appreciate the wonder of all this, Peterson points out, drawing from Isaiah, God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers to him.
Wow, yeah.
He's the everlasting God, the one who inhabits eternity. All nations are like nothing before him. But astonishingly, he made us in his image.
It's crazy.
It is. It's amazing. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Peterson introduces this idea of Christ as the true image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls from 2 Corinthians 4.4 and Colossians 1.4 to support this.
Okay.
And he says Christ forms this vital bridge between us, created in God's likeness, and the incarnation God becoming human.
A bridge between us and God.
A bridge. Exactly.
That's so cool.
And Paul, he even refers to Christ as the second Adam. The image of God in whom we were initially created and are now being renewed.
Yeah.
It's like we were always meant to be shaped into the image of Christ.
Always meant to reflect him.
Yes. Peterson quotes Philip Hughes here, and he phrases it beautifully. He says, humanity has these affinities that reach both downward within the world and upward to the Creator. And get this, he says, the eternal Son is the image in accordance with which man was formed. So our very essence, our ability to connect with God, is rooted in the fact that we were made in the image of his Son.
Made to connect with God from the very beginning.
Exactly. This inherent compatibility, this being made in the image, the true image, it sets up this incredible possibility of the incarnation. It's the foundational how behind God becoming one of us.
But then we know the story takes this dark turn with the fall. So how did sin mess up this potential for union, this potential that was there from the start?
Oh, the fall was devastating. It really was. Peterson outlines all the terrible consequences. Guilt, condemnation, corruption, suffering, relationships broken, bondage, being totally alienated from God, and this fundamental disorder introduced into the world. Even creation itself was cursed because of sin.
Everything was affected.
Everything. And when it comes to union with Christ specifically, the biggest tragedy of the fall is separation. Peterson points to Ephesians 2:11-12, where Paul describes the Gentiles as separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
It's like this picture of complete disconnection.
Utter disconnection.
Yeah.
And Peterson highlights Frank Tillman's commentary on Ephesians. Tillman says that this separation from Christ is the most critical consequence of all.
The worst part.
Yeah, the worst part. Because if every spiritual blessing is found in Christ, then being cut off from him is the ultimate spiritual crisis.
It's like being in exile.
Exactly, like an exile. Peterson says it's almost spatial. Like Christ is over here with all the goodness of salvation, and because of the fall, we're way over there, totally cut off, separated from him and everything good that he offers.
Yeah, I get that. So the fall created this huge gap, this impossible separation, which leads us to the incarnation. How does God becoming human make union possible again? I mean, it seems impossible.
Yeah, it does. It's mind-blowing, really. But Hughes, who we talked about earlier regarding the image of God, has a great quote here. He says, The doctrine of the image of God is the key to the factuality of the incarnation.
So that's how it happened.
It helps us begin to understand how the infinite God could become what he wasn't, how he could join with his creation. It's this essential link between humanity as image of God, little I, and Christ as the ultimate image, big I.
Yeah, I see that.
It answers that seemingly unanswerable question. How can the eternal God become a finite, vulnerable human being?
Like, how can that even be?
I know. And Peterson emphasizes that even when the Son took on human flesh, he didn't stop being fully God, not even for a second.
He was still God.
Still fully God. And that's crucial for our rescue. Only God could actually save us. But to do that, he had to become one of us, to walk in our shoes.
He had to experience what it was like to be human.
Exactly. The incarnation was absolutely necessary so that the God-man, fully God and fully man, could die for us, defeat evil, like Hebrews says, and free us from sin and death.
Okay.
Peterson brings back Lethem's perspective, who said that the basis of our union with Christ is Christ's union with us in the incarnation.
Wow, that's deep.
It is. It's this incredibly profound idea that he became one with us in his humanity so we could become one with him in his divinity.
A two-way street.
Totally. A beautiful reciprocal idea.
Amazing.
We see this foundational truth in John 1:14, the Word became flesh, and in Philippians 2, where Christ humbles himself.
Right.
So while the incarnation itself doesn't instantly connect every person to Christ automatically, it's the absolute foundation. It's the how behind it all, the bridge that makes it even conceivable.
Okay, so now we're at the point where Christ has come, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and he's risen from the dead. How does his saving work, especially what happened at Pentecost, actually bring about this union between us and Christ?
Okay, so Lethem makes this really clear connection. He says, since Christ has united himself to us in the incarnation, we can be united to him by the Holy Spirit.
So the Holy Spirit is the key.
Yes. While the death and resurrection are absolutely central, Pentecost is also a saving act. It's that moment when the Holy Spirit was poured out, launching the new covenant and making that faith union possible. And Peterson makes it clear that it was the risen Christ himself who poured out that Spirit at Pentecost, fulfilling prophecies from John the Baptist and even Jesus' own words in Acts. It wasn't just some random event. It was a deliberate act. It was part of Jesus' work as Messiah, you know, the promised deliverer and king. It was this huge moment, this baptism of the church with the Holy Spirit.
Wow, that's really powerful.
It is. And it's that very same Spirit, the one poured out at Pentecost, who actively joins believers to Christ. As Lethem puts it, the Spirit unites us with himself by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit draws us to him in faith.
So the Spirit is what brings us to Christ.
Yes. And it's the Spirit's work to make that living connection happen.
I see. But we should be clear, this isn't the same kind of union as the incarnation.
Right. That's an important point.
Like, we don't become divine ourselves.
Right. We don't suddenly become God.
But the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes to live in us to permanently indwell believers. And through that, we're brought into union with Christ.
It's the Spirit who takes all that Christ achieved, the life, death, and resurrection, and applies it to us, really connecting us to him in this powerful, transformative way.
So where does it all lead? What's the end goal of this union?
Well, Peterson points us to this amazing vision, the new creation. The ultimate goal is the complete salvation of God's people and the renewal of all creation itself.
So everything gets fixed.
Everything. Remember how the fall cursed the whole world?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Christ's work has this cosmic reach. It reconciles all things to himself, just like Colossians describes.
It undoes the curse.
It does. And Romans 8 talks about creation itself being enslaved to decay, groaning and waiting for its freedom alongside us, God's children. And in Ephesians 1, Paul reveals God's ultimate plan to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
It's a total reconciliation. Like, everything gets brought back together.
Exactly. And union with Christ, made real by the Spirit, is the force that drives this transformation.
Yeah.
Peterson highlights Revelation 22.3, where it says that in the new creation, no longer will there be anything accursed. It's completely undone.
Wow. And for believers, this means that being in Christ means we're already part of this new creation, like right now.
Right now. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that.
Yeah.
It means that reconciliation with God has already started in our lives. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing, living, active union with Christ through the Spirit who lives in us.
That's happening right now.
Yes. And Peterson emphasizes that this union isn't passive. We actively share in Christ's story.
We participate.
Exactly. Oh. We die to sin just like he dies. Yeah. We're raised with him to new life, and our true selves are hidden with him in God, like Colossians says.
That's so cool.
It is.
So the final result of this whole thing, this union with Christ, is the complete resurrection and redemption of humanity and the restoration of the entire universe to its original glory.
It takes your breath away when you think about it. From eternity past, God's plan was to unite us with Christ. Creation set the stage. The fall created the need. The incarnation made it possible. Pentecost initiated it through the Spirit. And the new creation will be its ultimate fulfillment.
So, to wrap up this deep dive, it's clear that union with Christ isn't just some side note. It's the core of God's redemption plan, woven through every major event, from the mysteries of eternity past to the hopeful end of the story.
And for you listening, understanding this big picture of union with Christ might totally change how you see your own relationship with God and the incredible future that's waiting for all creation. It's worth thinking about. Really ponder what it means to be in Christ across all these different stages of God's story.
It's a lot to think about.
It is.
Thanks for joining us today.
It was a pleasure.